You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
One thing we can all agree on is the future of technology is an ever-changing and unpredictable landscape. Amongst many concerns regarding this changing economic future is the impact automation and artificial intelligence might have on New Zealanders' jobs. Producer Will Parsonson spoke to newsroom columnist and political commentator Rod Oram about all this.
It seems that when it comes to the future of the economy, the focus tends to be on things like taxes, minimum wage, the benefit and immigration. Do you think that the focus may need to shift to begin to include technological advancements and the impact of that on the workforce?
There's a very crucial link between those two sets of issues. So yes, we need to be thinking very deeply and acting on the likes of technology change and what that means for our environment, for our work, for the way we do everything. But we also need to be very mindful of the tax systems that can help shape the incentives to help drive investment that way and make sure we invest in good growth versus that growth which revolves largely around consumption or real estate investment that is actually hindering our progress.
So do you think technology is something that New Zealand's going to have to look to on the horizon to build our economy?
The nature of technology is changing very profoundly and very rapidly. So the likes of, cellular agriculture in food, where food is grown from stem cells in laboratories and factories, not on whole animals on farm, or artificial intelligence and virtual reality, which help us understand very complex systems, particularly natural systems, to then be able to work with them, are very much bigger emphasis on an ecosystem understanding of how the world works. So we make sure that all the technology we use and all the resources we use work with the ecosystem and not against it, doesn't pollute, doesn't damage the ecosystem. These are all the very big themes. However, I would go one stage further. Technology itself can't solve all our challenges. That technology has to be driven very profoundly by the values we have. So we've got to make some very big changes in those values to make sure that the technology we use is the right technology to help us achieve those deeply sustainable outcomes that we've got to find. If 10 billion people are going to be living on this planet reasonably well in coming decades.
You're going off that there is this fear of automation taking over the workforce, and they're saying that there's going to be 885,000 jobs, or almost 50% of the workforce, is at risk of losing their jobs to automation. Is that a concern, or is it more along the lines of robots taking over hype?
It is a considerable challenge. Look, take my own field of work as a journalist. When I started as a journalist, albeit over 40 years ago, I started by writing daily stock market reports, the activities of the market on that given day. But these days, in major publications, those are written by algorithms. These are written by programs that analyze what's happened in the markets on a given day and draw in various other information they can find to turn that into a comprehensible and reasonably useful story. That's true about all the whole nature of work is changing, and it's going to change even faster. So we shouldn't think about seeing this very narrowly as jobs will be lost, people will be out of work. We have to think of it as how do we constantly learn more, retrain, develop new skills, so that we still are working, but we find that we're working in very different ways from the way we used to. So that's the important theme there. Yes, be mindful that existing jobs, many of those existing jobs will disappear, or they will change so profoundly, we need to make sure that we change our skills with them.
Yeah, that's what I see in a lot of discussion around this topic. It's a lot of crystal ball gazing rather than addressing issues that are obvious now and addressing issues that are in the in the near future rather than we're looking. I mean, so many people talk about what's going to happen in a decade. I mean, it's important, but it's sort of unnecessary given that there are issues now. Would you
No, you're right about the issues now, because these factors are already at work in the economy. And there's already a very poor mismatch between the skills that people have and the work that we do. This, for example, was highlighted in the most recent annual review of the New Zealand economy from the OECD. And it was quite a substantial impact on the wealth and well-being that we generate in the country. However, whilst we have to get a lot smarter about that now, we also have to be very mindful about how this exponential change in the nature of technology and just the sheer speed and scale and complexity of change that's going on in the world, how fast that's coming down the road. So we need to be acting right now, but we also need to have a very clear understanding. It's a murky future out there. It's the best understanding we can manage as to what that means over the next decade or two. And so the actions we take now best prepare us for that uncertain and unknown future.
Yeah, it's like things like big data as well. A lot of people would never have guessed that being a thing. I mean, massive corporations being able to see everything you're doing online and use that for advertising. I mean, that's taking a lot of jobs as well.
Yes, it is. But of course, there's always two sides to the coin. I've seen the power of that data analytics, for example, fundamentally will destroy the business model of my profession, of journalism. And it's taken journalism a long time, and we're perhaps just starting to turn the corner on that, whereby we've worked out some new business models that mean that we can still earn something of a living from the work we do. If people want a good sense of what the power of that data and analytics is, there is a terrific book out by an American mathematician called Cathy O'Neill called Weapons of Math Destruction. So this is about how algorithms can work for good or bad, good and bad, and you have to be incredibly focused on what you're deploying and what the effect of that is. It's quite a fabulous book, and it's very readable. She's a terrific writer.
So moving on from that, because this is part of our focus in the lead up to this year's election, and what sort of policy and what sort of changes need to be made in New Zealand to protect these jobs in the future?
You can't protect jobs as they are now, nor would you want to. You'd want to be able to evolve those jobs fast. So that's where it comes back to skills and training. Now, that and education. Now, that sounds like something we already do, but we really struggle when we do, obviously we do, but still in a fairly 20th century way. But the changes that are required in all those systems to make sure that people can learn and adapt and evolve very rapidly are not there yet. Labour has been thinking about this. It's had its whole Future of Work Commission, which has explored that issue best of any organisation in the country, because this is fairly lightly researched. There is also a good group of academics, for example, at a good centre at the University, Auckland University of Technology on this. So there is some expertise around. But that does need to be, we need to very quickly start applying that sort of understanding to new policies. So Labour is best at that, although I am disappointed that the pretty good thinking, the pretty deep thinking that was coming out of the Commission is only turning up rather vaguely in policy, but in useful ways, such as making a real commitment to supporting people with that continuous education and training, and making sure that there are guarantees of some years of free education and training for people in that.
So you would argue that the future of our economy and the future of work in New Zealand isn't exactly in the workforce now, it's in the future of the workforce through education and training. Is that what you're saying, in a sense?
Yes, but again, crucially, reflecting on the fact that many of us are already in the workforce and hope to be for a long time yet. So I say that even though I've been in the workforce more than a few decades. So getting people excited about such change and equipping them for that but making sure they're in businesses that are onto these issues, and therefore the businesses themselves are evolving fast. These are, and this is all very broad brush, I happily admit, these are the sort of enormous challenges we have. But these are not just ours. These are ones common to the whole world. So there's plenty of advice and learning that we can pick up from abroad and apply here. But conversely, we then need to adapt that to the quite different circumstances about the small scale of the country, you know, how distant we are from big markets, our mix of ethnicities and skills and everything else. But I think we can be real pioneers in this and offer some of the things that we invent and progress on this back out to the world.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.